Welcome to GeekWire. I'm Todd Bishop, and we are on the line with Monica Nicholsberg, GeekWire's civic innovation editor, who is on the HQ2 beat this week on the East Coast. She has made her way from Washington, D.C. and the Crystal City area to the other new home of Amazon, which is the Queensboro of New York. Monica, it's great to have you on.
Great to be here.
All right, so follow up with us here. Catch us up. What's happened since we last talked to you? You were previously in Crystal City. You've been covering the news there and the reaction from the residents in the Washington, D.C. area. Where are you now and what's happening?
Now I am in New York City looking out at a crazy blizzard, an early winter blizzard. And yeah, just the day before yesterday, I jumped on the train from Washington, D.C. to New York. It took a little over 3 hours. There was Wi-Fi. I was able to work the whole time. So really got a sense for how convenient these two second headquarters are going to be for Amazon executives to be able to just ping back and forth from one to another. And here in New York, in Long Island City, it really has the feel that the previous neighborhood I was in, Crystal City, did, that it's certainly already a vibrant neighborhood, but there is room for growth. And you can kind of envision how some of these empty lots or kind of old underused buildings could be just totally revolutionized by Amazon in the same way that they did with the South Lake Union neighborhood in Seattle.
That's interesting because I think our assumption prior to landing there, to arriving there, was that Crystal City was much more of an empty slate, a blank canvas for Amazon to do with what it will. And then Queens obviously is a very, very mature neighborhood section of New York City. But it sounds like you're saying that at least maybe it's old enough or underdeveloped enough that there's the potential for Amazon to turn this into its own.
Yeah, and you do raise a good point. I mean, Queens has a longer and more diverse history, I would say, than the Crystal City neighborhood of Arlington, Virginia. But both of these spaces do seem like they have room for growth and redevelopment. That being said, I think that Amazon is going to face a little more resistance here in Queens because as soon as I got off the train and made my way to the neighborhood, I encountered a big protest with members of the community, activists, elected officials expressing their frustration over how the process went down and also their concerns about how their neighborhood is going to be changed.
That was a fascinating part of the coverage. And I know you had an interesting experience getting to that protest that actually speaks to one of the strengths of Queens as a destination for one of Amazon's new HQ2s. Talk about the process that you went through to get from DC to New York to Long Island.
It was pretty remarkable, and it certainly made me miss New York. I even used to live here. I lived here for 5 years, and one of the things I miss most is the really robust public transportation. What happened in this case was I was on the train from D.C., and I got word of this protest that was planned for 11:30 a.m., and my train was scheduled to get in at, I think, 11:20. So I got in at Penn Station. I ran over to the E line, jumped on the subway, took the subway to Queens, walked about 5-10 minutes to the site of the protest, and landed there really only 10 or 15 minutes later than when it started. And of course, I had my suitcase and all of my luggage with me, so I thought I was going to have a really hard time getting to the front in order to see and take photos. But it actually ended up being an asset because I threw my suitcase on a bench and stood on top of it like a stool, and I was able to capture a lot of the action there.
That's hilarious. And I got to tell you, Monica, that story of your reporting savvy and putting the suitcase on the park bench and standing on it as a way to see all the action, even though you were late, that has already become legend around the GeekWire newsroom, just so you know.
That's funny that you say that. To me, I'm glad that it worked out well, but I was just so struck by how interconnected these two big cities are, and it really shows Amazon's priorities, I think, and on the one hand, that you can get from Washington, D.C. to New York in 3 hours and hop on a subway and be there for an 11:30 meeting or protest or whatever it might be. But then also, I think it shows that they're interested in being close to the two seats of power in this country, the financial seat of power in New York City and the political seat of power in Washington, D.C., So after more than a year, it's fascinating to see what really resonated with them among all these bids.
Tell us about the protest. Who was protesting them? What were they protesting? And is there a chance that this could make a meaningful difference in Amazon's arrival in New York City?
I doubt it. I would say that that New York's mayor and governor are very committed to making this work for Amazon, but it did show some really strong resistance from the community already before Amazon's even arrived. There was a big mix of people there, a large crowd. The event was organized by a state senator whose jurisdiction includes this neighborhood in Queens, and it also had a speaker from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign there. She said that the newly elected representative couldn't be there because she's settling in Washington, but that she wanted to send someone to say that she very strongly opposes this development by Amazon.
That was fascinating to me because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the newly elected representative from that area, as you said, is a democratic socialist. And Amazon has faced very vocal opposition from another socialist party member here in the Seattle region, Shama Sawant, the city council member. Do you see parallels there?
I do see parallels there, and I think that that is going to be the most pronounced here in Queens. I think for the most part, when I chatted with folks in the D.C. area, they were maybe a little bit cautious, but for the most part, optimistic about the potential boost that Amazon could provide to their community. But here in Queens and in New York, I think that there is a bigger population of very progressive young people who are distrustful a little bit of big corporations and the outsized impacts that they can have on communities while not necessarily doing as much as they could to mitigate that growth and other externalities that come from that.
So is there any practical impact of these protests? Is there a potential that Amazon could look at this and say, well, maybe New York doesn't want us, and even if the governor and the mayor do support us, it's not the kind of place that Amazon would want to be?
I doubt it. I think that the sentiment of the protesters is certainly to keep fighting and resisting, but I think this is a pretty done deal. I don't expect that Amazon is going to change its plans.
One thing that was really interesting to me was the level, the volume, the amount of the incentives that were different between D.C. and New York. In the case of New York, I think it was the equivalent of $1.5 billion. Correct me if I'm wrong there. And then in D.C., it was more like $500 million. But one was cash, one was tax incentives. Is there a way to compare and contrast these, or are they more apples and oranges?
There's a bit of apples and oranges happening there. In New York, I thought one interesting part of it is that there's actually potential for Amazon to receive even more in incentives and subsidies if they hire more than the 25,000 promised. And if you comb through the memorandum of understanding that Amazon signed with New York, you'll actually see that they offer to possibly hire up to 40,000, which is close to what they originally promised before the news broke that they're planning to split their second headquarters. So it seems like there could be potential in New York for it to be a bigger development.
Okay, that's really interesting. So big picture, you've now been in both HQ2s for a couple days each. What are your overall impressions? Why do you think Amazon chose these areas? How do you think it'll do? I'd really be interested in your big picture takeaways after spending basically the week on the East Coast exploring Amazon's new headquarters.
So my biggest picture takeaway is that this process was more about what cities can do for Amazon than what Amazon can do for cities. And I don't mean to pick on Amazon here, but I think in the selection of New York and Washington, D.C., those are two cities that Amazon wants to be powerful in for the reasons that we've already talked about. It would have been a totally different story if we were talking about them going to Pittsburgh or Austin or Indianapolis, because then it would be Amazon really transforming a community and having a very outsized impact. But by moving into these big cities that already have really robust economies and industries, it seems like it's more that they'll be absorbed into the broader economy than that they will be creating a new company town, if that makes sense. So there's going to be some things that are a big contrast from Seattle, where it was more of a mid-sized city that grew really fast with Amazon at the head. But there are going to be some parallels, too, like we've seen in the resistance and some other impacts on the community that I think will just play out over time.
All right. Well, this has been great. It's been a lot of fun to check in with you this week, Monica. Where are you headed next? Are you headed home soon?
I'm headed home tomorrow. I'm leaving this snowy city.
If the airports cooperate, right?
Oh, don't even say that.
All right. Well, hey, great job. Again, I think we're going to have to have a trophy made out of the image of you standing on that suitcase on the park bench. I think it's pretty awesome. And it's been really fun to follow your coverage. And thanks for joining us on the GeekWire podcast.
My pleasure. I can't wait to see you guys soon.
All right. Safe travels. Bye, Monica.
Bye.
That was Monica Nicholsberg, GeekWire's Civic Innovation Editor, joining us from Queens in New York City, where she has been on the second stop in her tour of Amazon's new HQ2. You can find all of our coverage of this momentous development after more than a year of searching for this new headquarters by Amazon at geekwire.com. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the GeekWire podcast.